Flandia. I am here today with Robin TCJ. Hello.
Hi, Flame.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely to be invited.
Oh, it's going to be great chat because we are going to do a kinksploration on lingerie.
Yay!
And even though you do not want to be known as it, Sarah and I have largely crowned you the stony queen of lingerie.
Awesome.
Both in your research and in ours, you've written the most stony with the tag lingerie. We don't know if people have tagged
as completed.
That's completed, excuse me.
Yes, I did not do enough research to see the numbers for incomplete or in progress works, but for completed, I saw my name on there a lot.
Yeah, you are prolific with lingerie.
And so, a lot is like six.
But that's
a lot in this instance.
Oh, well, we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But first, let's start how we always do, which
okay,
is
yes.
What is your fandom origin story?
I'm dating myself a little bit. I'm on the older side of fandom, folks. I know, shocking. But I was really big into the Buffy and Angel fandoms. And when they were on the air, this is not like me coming in later. Like, they were on and I was into them. And I started out as a Buffy Angel shipper. And then I found out what Slash was. Turns out.
A good day for us all, whenever we find that out.
Yeah. So I was a Spike Xander shipper and an Angel West shipper. I have a bunch of like really terrible Spike Xander fics still on the internet because I can't remember how to log into my Angel Fire account and delete them.
So I'm that way with fanfic.net. I've got stuff on there that I would like to go away and I can't get into it. And no one is going to know my username over there. Don't ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Angel Fire. So I'm like,
yeah.
So
yikes.
Yes. So, so it was a big, Angel West shipper. I didn't write as much of them. But I read all of everything that existed. And I was big into the Brat Queen, which is an Angel author from back in the day, who wrote a lot of Wes Angel and great Wes Angel. And like she's like the Angel fandom version of Saber and Ferret and Sci-Fi Girl and Sinela all rolled into one. To me, anyway, like I was a big fangirl and I'm okay with that. So the show's ended, fandom petered off, LJ strike through happened, and I got away from fandom for years. I didn't think about fandom. I was totally out of it. And then I don't know if I was already on AO3, like I'd heard about it and made an account just so I had one. But one Christmas break, I got really, really bored and thought I would look up some of the old authors. And this was, again, like 7 or 8 years after being in the fandom. And I found that the Brat Queen had written a Tony Bruce fic.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, this is exciting. I have watched these, and I wasn't even into MCU yet. But I have watched these movies because my husband, we weren't yet married at the time, but he insisted I watch these movies right from Iron Man. He's always been a big Marvel Comics fan, so it was very important to him. And then when I found, I was a big Joss Whedon fan, of course, because I was a Buffy Angel fan. And so I found out he was going to be directing the Avengers. So I was like, okay, fine. I will watch all of them with you as they come out, if you want, I guess.
This is a hardship. Please pay attention to my suffering. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very much like, I guess I will do this for you as long as I get popcorn. That was like, it was bad. And at the time we were living in a town that the theater had burnt down. So we had to drive to the next town over, which was 45 minutes on the highway. In order to see a movie. Exactly. Like, okay, I'm going to get popcorn out of this is how this is going to go. And otherwise I don't care. And then, but yeah, so we were watching them and, you know, I thought these were really cool. I liked them, whatever. And then I saw this Science Husband spec and I read it and it was the Bat Queen, so I was into it, and I thought this was really good, but it didn't grab me in a ship capacity.
Right.
And, like, I'm not one of those people who will see a media and see the homoeroticism in it just without prodding. Like, I'm dense, I guess, and I need it pointed out for me. So, and I must have seen the Avengers by the time I read it, because in my brain it was Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr., right? So it wasn't Edward Norton, so I'd like, okay.
Okay.
Like, so I must have
I always forget he was even the Hulk. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a part of our lives. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that happened. That happened.
Thing. Yep, okay.
Yeah. So I liked the fic and I liked the idea, but the pairing wasn't what I really, really wanted. So I started looking at other MCU stuff. And I think it was the Say When series by Anne Tu Hu. That's the one that sticks out in my mind as the first Steve Toney story that I really read, and I was like, oh, it's them. they make sense.
Yep,
yes. Yep. For like, because for me, it's always sort of that, and I don't, like, maybe I'm getting their characterization wrong, because like, Tony's obviously so suave and debonair, and like, he's this billionaire and he's amazing, and like, he always knows the right thing and wears the right thing. But in my head, he's sort of like awkward and kind of unsure of himself.
Yes, because I think both of those things are true about him.
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like part of that, like, perfection and out there extrovert is sort of an act to me. And, you know, everyone has their own interpretation of their characters and of fandom and of their pairing and a blah, 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 blah. But for me, I see him as this sort of like awkward, kind of unsure of himself, kind of maybe not the best self-esteem. And then I see Steve as sort of somewhat tortured, what with all the, you know, World War II PTSD and stuff.
What with all the being frozen for 70 years?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Put a damper on one psyche. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but then other than that, he's like upstanding and like generally positive and just like sure of himself, I think. And that's always the pairing for me, is where one of them is unsure of themselves and the other one is very sure of themselves, and they sort of play off each other that way. So that's why I'm very much a Stony OTP person. And like, I really like a lot of other pairings, like Winterhawk I like, and I like Phil and Clint for some ungodly reason, because, you know, their 30 seconds of screen time together where they weren't actually on the same screen did it for me. And I think a lot of it is reading fics. That's what gets me into fandom, because they weren't together at any point, but reading the fics of them together, I'm like, yes, perfect. I see it. So that's what got me into Stony, was reading other people's fics and seeing the way that they saw these characters wanting to get together. So that's how I fell into it. And then I went nuts, and, I am not great with moderation.
So does that mean you just like hoovered everything?
Everything. Okay. Like and I'm big into the long fix. I much prefer to read the long stuff. That's just my personal preference. And I don't read work in progress stuff. I like it finished. I download it onto my phone into the Kindle app, and then I'll read, like, just read. You know, my husband and I'll be watching TV, and if there's commercials, I'm reading during the commercials, or like, I'm at the stove stirring dinner and I'm reading while I stir. Like, it's just, I want in all of it.
All of it, all the time.
All the time.
Long fix though, don't really lend themselves to porn as much.
No, which is, I know. Really? Like, really? Robin just reads the long stuff, but the porn is all one shots.
I mean, I'm just, there's no judgment in this question. There's just,
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
It so doesn't. Do you read as much porn as proportionately you write?
No.
Okay.
No. I do. I like porn in my fix. Yep. I really enjoy reading it. Makes me happy. But more often than not, it's like, it's a chapter here and there.
Okay. So in your writing, the fix that stand out of your stories in my mind involves Tony and lace panties.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to talk about here. And what I'd love to start with, first of all, is I'm going to assume you've given thought to this. And if I'm wrong, then correct me.
Let's assume that I think about anything in depth. Let's do that because it makes me sound good.
So in looking at your fix and at your work, so the two that stand out in my mind are Take Off the Suit, where you have Steve restraining Tony against the wall with one hand. And then,
see, that's funny because I literally never think of that fic. I had forgotten that I had written it until you mentioned it.
That's funny because that's the one, that's the first fic of yours. No, this is interesting. That's the first fic of yours I read when I was surfing the lingerie tag months ago, just out of curiosity. That was the first one I read. So then there's my question. When you think of the lingerie you've written in your fix, what do you kind of think of?
See, and I think more of Steve in lace panties.
Okay. So tell me why, tell me about why they're different. Like, why do you sometimes put Steve in it and why do you sometimes put Tony in? What does the lingerie represent for you in that story?
So the first time I did lingerie fic, it was very focused on Steve in lingerie and also a collar, and there was breath play, because of course there was. And I think it was a bingo fic. And I had been scrolling Tumblr one day, and I found Just Another Tart on Tumblr, which is a Tumblr user. It's a sort of a lean gentleman who likes to wear lacy lingerie and sometimes fuck himself with a dildo. And then he posts photos and GIFs on Tumblr. And there's less of the dildo fucking now, which is really sad. But
the wistfulness in your voice was adorable. There's less of that now. I can feel so many of our listeners agreeing with you.
I miss it a lot because there was a lot going on there, and it was really nice. But I had seen him posting himself in these photos and GIFs of him in these lacy lingerie, you know, with a heart on and like a little bit of cock sticking out or like just pushed off to the side. And it like shook me because I had never thought of it before. It wasn't something I'd really considered. And it was like, oh, that does it. That does it for me. So, and then I had this like breath play square for, a Cap IM bingo, I think, because, you know, of course I did have a breath play square and I'd never played with that. And that's not one of my kinks. So I threw the lingerie in there sort of to give myself something in it, I guess. And for whatever reason, I was thinking of Steve's body in panties, because for me, so much of it is this masculine body, muscles and flat stomach and abs and the Adonis belt and like rippling thighs. And then this like dainty lace fabric. And that's what I like about the kink itself, is that contrast, that, you know, typically masculine, manly, macho kind of thing. And then also there's lace, and probably it has flowers in it. Cause I guess I like things that don't feel like they should go together. So I think of Steve in panties when I think of the lingerie kink, just because that's the first time I dipped my toe into it.
Fair.
And then, but I'm very much an equal opportunist when it comes to sort of who's wearing panties or who's on the bottom or whatever. I like to switch it up all the time. So I think of Steve in the panties first because that was my first time dipping my toe in the water, I guess.
That's fair. And I know that there's a lot of people who kind of connect lingerie with feminization, which to me are actually two separate kinks.
Personally. Oh, very much. Yeah. I don't think of them the same as at all. No.
At all. So, but there are people that connect that, which I find interesting. But I think the majority of people who in outside of fandom, I should say, like the majority of people, my understanding of a kink community is that a big part of the lingerie is the juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Personally, the few lingerie people who claim a lingerie kink that I know talk about like tasting hair through the lace. Like that's a really big, kind of juxtaposition of the forbiddenness of it.
Yeah. Yep.
They particularly enjoy more than, for instance, referring to a man as a woman or using, like they would feel more, I don't particularly like fix wear when somebody's in lingerie. I don't love it when somebody's in lingerie and then we refer to the man's anal hole as a vagina. Like that's not my favorite.
Yeah.
Because that's two different kinks to me.
It is. And I think feminization is more of a role play kink than because that's you're role playing that one of the partners is female.
Yeah.
So it's more role play. And whereas the lingerie is the aesthetic, it's, you know, that sort of this dainty fabric over something that should be hard and marble, like masculine, like stone, right? So I think that's sort of what does it for me more than the role-playing thing. And I'm not a big role-play as a kink person.
Fair.
I don't know. I feel like I'm talking more about what my kinks aren't than what they are.
You know, I think it's interesting because the other one that crosses over to this besides like role-playing and feminization is other kinds of kink wear.
Yeah.
Because you get a texture kink within lingerie sometimes.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of the broader, for me, somewhat the broader category that lingerie might fall under for some users and some practitioners would be the idea of the juxtaposition of textures.
Yes. I think kink wear, and again, your mileage may vary, but this is where my brain is kink wear is more like leather and PVC and rubber, and lingerie is lace and satin, and you know, kink wear again is blacks and dark reds and stuff like that, whereas my lingerie, the stuff I like is sort of the light colors, the pastel colors, that so it's more of that juxtaposition, more of that contrast, and kink wear is like a whole other bag.
Yeah, and I don't think we see a lot of kink wear in our fandom.
No, I'm trying to think of any I've read. We see it in fan art.
For sure. I don't think in fan art, and wow, I mean, fan art.
How do you not?
Lingerie fan art is something special, I will say.
Yeah,
art, full stop, is something special.
Very much agreed, yeah.
I am so in awe of anyone that can draw anything beyond a stick because that stretches my ability.
Yeah, I am slowly working my way up to some perspective.
your talent is wonderful.
Why, thank you.
And I am looking forward to the day where you draw full lingerie. That will be great. And I will cheerlead it as you get there. But
I don't know if I have the patience for lates, though. This is my problem.
Who knows how long we're all stuck inside. So
Shit. That's true.
So in summation then, from what I'm hearing from you, is that there is a secret element to this, that
yes.
the juxtaposition is not something that is shared with anyone else. Yeah. That it is, it's not that Tony wears silk suits. It's that Tony wears silk underwear.
Exactly.
It's that kind of thing that is just for the person themselves and yeah. the partner they're choosing.
Yeah.
Which is potentially, it's not as much of a performance.
It's more intimate.
It's more intimate and it's more grounded in who they already are than in grounded in a role-playing or performative element. Which both yeah. kinkwear and feminization would cross probably a little bit more into performative for most
people. I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Yeah. So it's almost like an ultimate intimacy.
Yeah. Whereas the other ones they're bordering on exhibitionism, I guess.
Maybe. That might be a bridge too far for some people.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I think, again, like, I mean, so many of these kinks are gray, right? Like, there's no boundaries between them. They just bleed into each other.
And there doesn't need to be boundaries. You have set boundaries.
Exactly. Exactly. Definitional boundaries are not what's important. Yes. It's personal,
yes, exactly.
consensual boundaries. No, yes. That makes total sense. So I think that's going to be interesting. What I'd love to hear from our listeners as we kind of think about this is if anything we said resonated with you guys, if you think that we're totally off our rocker. If you think that, perhaps you're not a Stony shipper and so lingerie exists in your fandom, but only one
sure.
character reads it. I'd love to know, like, we'd love to know kind of where you intersect in this completely. So make sure to tell us in all of the appropriate places. And then before we kind of wrap up, Robin, I'd love to know what fics you are reading right now, what you're in love with, what you'd love to tell our folks to read. Kind of give me your recs, as it were.
Okay. I struggle with recs. And the reason that I struggle with recs is I quit reading commercial fiction quite some time ago. So I only read fanfic at this point. I listen to audiobooks that are like commercial, real fiction, whatever, and true crime and stuff. But I only read fanfic. So I go through it really fast, which is horrible. I try to comment, but it is what it is. So lately I've been on a rereading kick. So I'm rereading some of my old time favorites. So I just finished rereading Celestial Navigation,
a classic.
I'm currently rereading Counterpart by Sarah Holmes, which is, I know people have issues with kidfic, and so do I.
What an endorsement that is.
But I can reread this fic for the rest of my life and be happy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's so good. And it doesn't have a lot of the elements that people who don't like kidfic don't like about kidfic.
Got it.
So, your perfect cherubic child that can do no wrong and everything about them is perfect and cute. And, your pairing, whoever it is they're the best parents in the world. And there's none of that happening here. And that's why it's so good. It's very realistic of a child who has been through hell and back and is acting accordingly. And parents that don't know how to be parents, they're thrust. It's so good. So good. And then another one that I have always been happy to rec to people who have not read it is Under God by Isozyme.
Oh my gosh, that fic.
I know.
like
my whole chest clenches up the whole time I'm reading it because I'm just so invested in like Steve's obvious pain.
I know. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that's one that I'm like, have you read this one? Like, oh, I'm looking for something kind of angsty. Oh, let me tell you about.
Yeah. Anytime someone says I would like some stony angst, I'm like, have you read Under God?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very much like, have you met Ted?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent reference there. Great job.
Thanks.
So before we wrap up and say goodbye for now, is there anything else that you'd like to say about lingerie, about Tony, because this is his birthday episode?
It is his birthday. Yeah. I feel like I should have something really profound to say about Tony and his character. I think Tony is one of the hardest characters in the MCU to really dig into and write well, I think, because so much of him is this genius,
mm-hmm.
this level of knowledge, this like speed of thinking, all this math, all this science. And it's just really hard to sort of get into that rhythm and also get into, like, you know, like I said earlier, his character is sort of always wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to write him because you're trying to balance that mask and when that mask drops, when he's with Steve because they're madly in love. So, you know, you kind of have to balance that in a way. And I find that hard but that's why I like writing Tony.
Yeah. Cause it's a challenge. Because,
yeah. Like it, you know, you give a shit cause he's Tony. So you want to do it right. So, I mean, I hope I do okay. That's all I can ask at this point is if he's somewhat recognizable as Tony Stark, then that is good enough for me, for my level.
I think you do ask. A great job.
Thanks.
Definitely recognizable in your fix.
Good.
So much for joining us today.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
We will chat again soon.
Okay. Here's hoping.